How did we go there? But anyway, about building the house. Okay. Every house, get a hold of this, because the whole afternoon we're going to be dealing with this house thing. Y'all, some of you were involved when we began to see that there was another house. It all started when we prayed for Wade. For those who don't know Wade, Wade was a drug addict for 32 years. Heavy duty, Grateful Dead, druggie, drug addict, switching jobs every few years, running from the law, semi stuff, just a bunch of mess. Crack, had done heroin, just everything. And when he got saved, the Lord sent, brought him to my house through Carrie. He went for counseling. He finally hit bottom. He went for counseling. And she said, well, meet us at, we had a little Bible study at my house. We sang Kumbaya. That's what we did. Lord said, sing Kumbaya. I'll set him free. We sang Kumbaya. He was totally set free. Smoking, drinking, alcohol, everything. Boom. Just one song. Totally free. God is so cool. That's how fast God could do it. And God did it. God gave him a grace period. But when he wouldn't deal with his issues, when he would, we didn't know this then. This is how we learned this. He didn't bring the house down that the enemy had built. And it was a big, probably mansion kind of thing. Probably on the water, you know, sailboats, you know, this kind of stuff. I mean, this house was huge, okay? So anyway, so Wade, who didn't deal with a mansion from hell, because we didn't know about this teaching, but we watched him not deal with issues, and I'm not in control, so I don't go after anyone. I just pray and see what God does. He totally backslid. He was 7 times worse. He had demons talking to him. He was doing drugs. He was stealing money, writing bad checks. Horrible. And everyone who was part of this ministry, we just prayed and prayed, and we asked God to show him, and we wouldn't, you know, we took away the key to the building and certain things like that. Most people think we're nuts anyway to give key to the building to people who've only been off drugs for 3 weeks. I hear you want to come, you know. Okay, so what happened is after Wade finally hit bottom and came back and God humbled him, he had to go through a rehab program because he was so prideful that he got free with one song of Kumbaya and everybody else had to go to a program, and so he had to go where he judged and all this. But this time it was different. This time he said, look, we're going to really deal with these issues. This time he really wanted God. This time it wasn't just a rescue thing. He wanted the life God had shown him for 6 or 7 months. And it's been really awesome, but his soul changed. But one night we were praying through all this, and this is what changed me. This is what God used supernaturally to get me to get to this revelation. We were praying, and we were praying about this junk in him, and I kept seeing this little boy that looked just like him just running around. It was like, there's something besides you going on here, Wade. And as I prayed for him, I didn't even touch him. And I was just calling this counterfeit him out. And I saw with my eyes, I actually saw a silhouette, like a spirit, like a ghost, you know, it was really weird, walk out of him. And as soon as it walked out, he fell out. Nobody touched him. And he was like, and he said, man, something big is gone. Something big is gone. Well, now I know that was his house the enemy had built. We didn't know the name then. We didn't have the understanding then, but it got me on this journey. What was that? Because now it's really easy. There's no condemnation. Now he still has junk and we're throwing it out. We're cleaning it up. God's healing him. Things are happening. But it's not, it doesn't come back to that same old junk. That's all I can say. And so that's when I began. I said, you know, in the Bible, it talks about Peter at a prayer meeting. I mean, I'm sorry, Peter was in jail, remember? And they were having a prayer meeting. And remember Peter came to the door, but they thought it was his ghost. So obviously our spirit man, if it's our ghost or our angel, it's a spirit, they thought it was his spirit, looks like us. And this thing that came out of Wade looked like Wade. So Satan comes in to counterfeit the spirit man. The real us. He comes in and he wants to have a false us in us. Because I don't believe that the spirit, a born-again spirit. Now this is a born-again spirit. Where God moves in and becomes one with our spirit. I don't think the enemy can have anything to do with that. God's not going to be joined where there's demons. But what God has been giving me the revelation of is we've joined our spirits with the enemy. So he's made a counterfeit house in us, a counterfeit place to dwell. And we think it's us. That's why you think you're no good. That's why you think nobody could ever love you. That's why you've bought the lies. Isn't this good? So what happens is that counterfeit house with the counterfeit self-image and all the junk that's with it has to come down. And then the house that God's already building in a born-again believer is going to be able to grow and flourish and be changed. And then our flesh, not our spirit, but our flesh is going to be sanctified. So we got to get all the demons out. Anyway, we'll get there. We're not there yet. We're going to go there. But this shows you that Jesus Christ wants to be the master builder in your house, that he is the builder of your house, and that he should get more honor than your house. It should be about God, not what he's doing for you. Okay? Not what he's doing through you. Everything should be about Jesus Christ and how wonderful he is, how awesome he is, about the Father, everything he's made. And that's the sure foundation you should want your house built on. Okay, he says, listen to this. Every house is built by someone, of course. But God built everything that exists. Okay, Satan was created by God. Satan imitates God. He can only use what's already in existence. He can only use demons that are already there to get into your house and mess with you. So Satan cannot truly create anything. He can just copy. He can just copy. And the entire kingdom of darkness is 100% set up to imitate the real. So that's why the Bible says that you don't need to be concerned with darkness. You don't need to be looking at all these dark things. You don't need to understand the devil to move into ministry. You need to understand God and his kingdom, and then Satan's kingdom is just a counterfeit reflection. That's why it says a Jezebel spirit, or that the counter or false spirit in the last days is going to have you focused on the demonic, like what the devil's all about. And I've been to teaching where that, boy, I've been to teaching with pictures of trees and pictures of roots and pictures of this and pictures of that. And God's not in it. This is what the devil's doing. This is what the devil's doing. This one, I don't need any of that to know what the devil's doing. All I need to know is what God's doing. And then I know puny little Satan's just going to try to counterfeit it. He's just going to counterfeit it all. So if I keep my eyes on God and his kingdom, then I'll begin to recognize when that's not of God. That's not of God. Oh, here's what the enemy's doing here, because he's just a counterfeiter. Don't think that he's creating a kingdom. Don't think he's setting something up on his own as if he even has the wisdom. He's just so jealous and so upset, but yet he was so close to God at one time. See, that's how I know that drugs are a counterfeit to the true anointing. Getting drunk on alcohol, even sicknesses, even epilepsy, is a counterfeit to when God's power hits someone and they shake. Every symptom, every disease, everything Satan does is counterfeiting something. He can't create it. He's just perverting and counterfeiting something he's seen in the heavenlies, which is awesome. It's going to be radically wild in heaven. Wow. Yay, God. But what he's done, he's tried to make it look like it's his own. So someone else will say, oh, the church is imitating the devil. No, you can't imitate the devil. God can't imitate the devil. The devil has to imitate God. So there's going to be all kinds of music in heaven. There's going to be all kinds of dancing in heaven. There's going to be all kinds of good time in heaven. Even tattoos. You want to know where? I know I don't think believers should have tattoos because the Bible says not to, and I think God should create our bodies, not us. But Jesus has a tattoo on his thigh in Revelations when he comes back. I think his name is there, and there may be something we don't know there too. I don't know. There's a lot of hidden things. But do you see what I'm saying? So Satan is jealous that Jesus got this tattoo, and he doesn't have a body to have a tattoo on. So he gets inside of people and tries to get them to give him a tattoo. And he wants his ugly picture and his ugly name on his tattoos. He can't even come up with that on his own. I'm not lying. When you begin to see how weak and pitiful Satan is, if you know Christ, you'll lose all fear of him. It's like, oh, come on, devil. You're so jealous that Jesus got a tattoo and you don't have a body to get a tattoo on. That you got to go and put your ugly face on little innocent 18 and 19-year-olds' bodies. That'd be a good way to open a conversation with somebody with tattoos. Say, did you know that the first tattoo was on Jesus? That'll just ruin their whole rebellion shock treatment, you know. He wasn't pierced in his belly button, but he did have a pierce in his side. Anyway. So, it is true that Moses was trustworthy in the household of God as a servant, acting as witness to the things that were yet to be revealed. But Christ is trustworthy as his son is over his household.